This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network, and we're brought to you by the Vodoliak Law Group, fighting insurance companies since 1963, and BetChicago.com, your source for all of Chicago's sports and betting news.
Buffon. A certain magic will always linger with the very name. It speaks of courage and fervor in the world's most brutal game. 55, worn by Doug Buffon, a Chicago Bear through and through. He demanded excellence of himself and anyone wearing navy blue.
You tell me what's going on. This is moronic. We're going to get our whipped all the way down the line. I want somebody to get kicked in the and get out there and play. You're getting paid to play this game. I'm playing right. I don't mind you getting beat. I got my whipped many times. But I tell you, I took somebody down with me. You are a professional team. Act like one, for God's sakes.
Football fans, this is Buffon 55. The John Buffon Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Buffon 55, the fastest paced 30-minute or so Chicago Bears football podcast available in the world. I am your host, John Buffon. We're back to Bears football, Barflies. Last Sunday was kind of weird without the Bears, but Green Bay certainly kept us entertained with their meltdown against Detroit. Bears still in sole possession of first place. With me, as always, is my trusty sidekick and show producer, Bears Girl BG. You all rested up and ready for some Bears football after the bye week?
I absolutely am, and my only dilemma is not the final score, who's going to win. It's, am I wearing my white Mac jersey like last time, or my orange Trubisky jersey to match them in Miami in those hot orange jerseys?
What a dilemma that is. I think I'm just going to wear that throwing sleeve that Trubisky had on. Maybe just just that. Anyway, we'll give it BG. But joining us tonight is Matthew Canat. I screwed his name up. I was practicing it before the show and I screwed it up.
Canada.
It's like Canada, but Canada or something. The host of Fins Insider Radio for the Fins Insider, part of the SB Nation Network, and a contributor over at thefinsinsider.com. Matthew, thanks for being on with us tonight to preview Sunday's matchup. How are you feeling after that meltdown against the Bengals last week?
Well, first of all, thank you guys for having me. But second of all, man, that was tough because I was there in person. And I was there. It was about 7-8 of us Dolphins fans. And we were living life the first three quarters. And then the fourth quarter, we were at the lowest of absolute lows. And I was just praying that no one would throw beer at me, nachos, popcorn, anything. They were all cool around us. But it was really, really a tough day and a tough game to watch.
Yeah, trust me. Bears kind of know that feeling after week one, so we can kind of empathize with you with that. So what I want to do is I want to take a look at how you see the Chicago Miami matchup going down. I'm interested in what you have to say. I want to start with how the Dolphins began this season. Three straight wins in the opener. They beat the Titans on the road by 7. Week two, 8-point win over the Jets. Another 8-point win on the road against the Raiders. That's a 3-0 start. However, the waters got a little treacherous for the Dolphins. Then two straight losses, one by 31 points to the hated Patriots, I'm sure, and then a 10-point loss last week. We just talked about that with the Bengals. What the heck happened to this team, and what should Adam Gase be concerned about? I think he used the quote, being kicked in the nuts at one point.
Yeah, he did use that this week, the other day, actually, when you know, he said he put 110 hours of game planning into this game, and then to lose like that, just a kick in the nuts. But you're right. You know, he started off 1-0 with the Titans. Of course, the longest game in NFL history with all the thunder and lightning delays. You look back on it now, you know, hindsight's 20/20. Okay, maybe they got that one first game of the season. Mike Vrabel's getting his feet wet as the Titans head coach. Dolphins get the victory because they're the home team. Then you go up against to play the Jets, and you start blowing them out a little bit, and then they start coming back a little bit. You hold on for the win. And then the Raiders were kind of beating them up the entire game, and it was really a miracle the Dolphins were still in it towards the end of the game. And then two trick plays later, and the Dolphins come out victorious. And then, you know, going up against the New England Patriots, just get absolutely smashed. You start to look at throwing that one away and just saying it's at Foxborough. The Patriots have not lost there for quite a while against the Dolphins. And you throw that one away. Then you go to the Bengals game. And for three quarters, the Dolphins are absolutely dominant. And then you get that thought in the back of your mind again. Listen, that was a throwaway game. They're back to their normal selves. This is the same team we saw in the first 3 weeks. And then the utter collapse in the fourth quarter just brings back all these questions as to who are the true Miami Dolphins. And we still don't know. We have Ryan Tannehill as the quarterback. We saw him his first year under Adam Gase do very, very well before getting injured, obviously, last year. A quarterback you are all very familiar with in Jay Cutler, probably the greatest quarterback in NFL history. You look at that season. Yeah, close. You look at that season and you say, okay, let's throw that one away. It's Jay Cutler. And then Ryan Tannehill comes back. You're 3-0. Everyone's riding high, and then now this. And he was directly responsible for 14 of the Bengals' points on Sunday. You take those points away, and the Dolphins win that game. So it's a really frustrating time right now to be a Dolphins fan because I don't think anybody knows where they go from here.
Absolutely, and you talked about Ryan Tannehill, and I want to try to get a little more in-depth on him. He has been ranked well below average since Adam Gase took over in 2016, and oddly has seemed to regress, according to metrics provided by Pro Football Focus, on plays where the quarterback is under pressure from a pass rush. Tannehill currently ranks 28th in passer rating with 58.5. Now, he's going up against a defensive player of the month, our star pass rusher, Khalil Mack, who alone in four games has 6 quarterback hits. What chance does Tannehill have against this defense?
Yeah, I don't think much of a chance, to be honest with you. You look at your defensive stats, and you look at how dominant your defense is playing, especially with the Khalil Mack trade, which was absolutely incredible. You know, you guys, net yards right now, 294.5, you're giving up per game. You're second in the league. Yards per play, 5.10, third in the league. Points per game, 16.3, second in the league. Net rushing yards per game, 64, first in the league. Net passing yards per game, 230.5 yards, ninth in the league. So you guys are at the top of, you know, all these major categories, and then you got Khalil Mack coming off the side there and rushing against their offensive line, which is already in shambles. The Chicago has not allowed a touchdown in 12 of 16 quarters this season, and you've shut out opponents in 9 of those 16 quarters. Looking back to week 4 when Tampa Bay was on such a hot streak, Chicago came in and limited their offense to just 311 net yards and only 10 points. Coming into that game, the Bucs averaged 473.3 yards and 34 points per game. And then previous week against Arizona, the Bears held the Cardinals scoreless over the final three quarters while allowing only 120 yards after the first quarter. It's no secret that Dolphins' offense is struggling right now. They're struggling in all areas, except maybe the run game, which they kind of turned around against the Bengals. But the passing game is a mess right now. They're not scoring touchdowns. The offensive line is a mess. And I saw earlier today on Twitter, someone was joking around that we might see Brock Osweiler come in the game. And that might not be a joke. If Khalil Mack gets enough hits on Ryan Tannehill, this might be a long game for the Dolphins. And we might see the backup quarterback come in at some point.
One of the words that you said that I'm sure just rings in Bears fans' ears is shambles when you're describing the offensive line. Let's stay on the topic of your offense because there's a lot going on with them. Left tackle Laremy Tunsil left Sunday's game after suffering a concussion. He's currently in concussion protocol. Also, your left guard, former Bear Josh Sitton, tore his rotator cuff, and center Daniel Kilgore injures his triceps. Both were acquired in the offseason, both placed on injured reserve, having their seasons ended. Gase's mentality of next man up has certainly seen its share of recycling. I believe they're at 7 starting linemen so far this year. What can the Bears expect from this wounded and battered offensive line? Are they in for a long day?
Yeah, so Laremy Tunsil, he is in the concussion protocol. He did practice today, so that's good news. So it looks like he's trending in the right direction. You mentioned left guard, and they have Sam Young playing there before he slid over to left tackle to take over for Tunsil after he exited the game. And then you got now Travis Swanson right in the middle, who they signed off the street a few weeks ago, probably 2 weeks ago or so, and started his first game against the Bengals, kind of held his own. You have Ted Larson in there as well. I'm sorry, it's Sam Young. It's actually Ted Larson playing left guard. He gave up quite a few pressures against the Bengals. And then at right guard, you have Jesse Davis, who's been holding his own, and Juwan James was an absolute mess against the Patriots, and again, a little more of a mess against the Bengals. And that's the side Khalil Mack is going to be rushing upon. And what was very mind-boggling with the Dolphins and the Bengals game is when Tunsil went out of the game, they put Sam Young on that side, and he was having a terrible game. But they didn't offer any help to Sam Young. They left him one-on-one, isolated on an island. And Marvin Lewis even mentioned it after the game in his post-game presser, where he said the Dolphins didn't seem to want to give him any help. And that's basically where the game was decided. So I do think that Nick O'Leary, the tight end they signed a few weeks ago, who has a really nasty attitude and gets down and dirty, I do believe they're going to keep him in the game more to help out with the offensive line, maybe trip Khalil Mack a little bit while he's rushing in and give Tannehill a little more time. But if Tunsil's out on Sunday, it's going to be a long day for the Dolphins offense, and the Bears defense is going to rack up quite a few hits, pressures, and sacks.
I love when you can just roll through 8-9 names and say he might be playing here, he might be playing a guard, they could shift him over here, because that is a defensive line's dream, to have these guys playing musical chairs, not sure where they're going to be playing. That gives them a chance to just tee off. Now, I want to switch gears real quick and go over to the other side of the ball. Many are arguing that the Miami defense, much like the Bears defense, is going to keep providing cover for the offense to kind of have time to figure itself out and carry the team through the season. What will this defense have in store for Mitchell Trubisky? Do you see another 6-touchdown performance on the horizon, against the likes of Minkah Fitzpatrick, Jeremy Baker, and Robert Quinn?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if Trubisky has another game like that. That came out of nowhere, actually. I was very shocked that happened.
We all were.
All were to it, yeah, especially after a start to the season where already the whispers of saying, you know, what did the Bears do?
Right.
But, you know, you look at the Dolphins' defensive stats, and they're not great, right? They're a bend-but-don't-break defense. We've seen it all. You know, the team drives down the field, and they're able to put up the goal line stand and force a field goal or force a turnover. When you look at the key categories, though, you know, interceptions, I believe Miami's third in the league in interceptions, and, you know, quarterback hurries and all of that. You got Minkah Fitzpatrick, the rookie there from Alabama. He is a very special player. He's going to provide tight coverage, did a great job against A.J. Green when called upon. Obviously, Green got his catches and got his numbers that he usually gets, but Minkah held his own. Xavien Howard has really turned it around the past season and a half. He had that one really bad game against the Patriots. But then again, who doesn't? He seemed to rebound last week. If Bobby McCain comes back, he is injured. His knee got hurt in the Patriots game. If he comes back and plays the other perimeter position, then that's going to be a big boom for the Dolphins defense. Raekwon McMillan was rated the best middle linebacker by PFF, Pro Football Focus, this past week. So he is trending in the right direction. Jerome Baker had 2 sacks against the Bengals. Very fast and athletic player. He's going to provide cover against Tariq Cohen. Rashad Jones playing. He has a hurt labrum, hurt shoulder, but he was playing lights out against the Bengals, and he is an absolute difference maker when he's in the game. If Bobby McCain doesn't play, you're going to see Torrey McTyre, who's been holding his own but still is prone to have coverage lapses and mental mistakes here and there. And you look at the defensive line, Cam Wake seems to be trending up. Andre Branch seems to be trending up. Robert Quinn, of course, who I thought was an absolute monster against the Bengals. The Dolphins like to rotate their defensive line in and out throughout the entire game. So having those guys back will help. You know, the Bears offense will get their share. Jordan Howard has been struggling a bit. The Dolphins seem to do a pretty good job holding the run game, although they struggled with Joe Mixon last week once he got into a rhythm. Tariq Cohen, though, you need to watch out for him because the Dolphins have struggled to contain these pass-catching running backs out of the backfield. James White had one hell of a game when they played the Patriots 2 weeks ago. And also they struggled, not so much, but they struggled a little bit to contain Deion Lewis against the Titans in week one. And then, of course, the Jets with their 1-2 punch that they have going there. The Dolphins had a little trouble with that as well. So Tariq Cohen might be in for a pretty nice game against this Dolphins defense.
Well, that's always good if you're a Bears fan, knowing that one of your most explosive playmakers it could have a chance to make plays against the opposing defense. Bears girl, before we go any further, how's the action in the chat room going?
Lots of action in the chat room, lots of friendly ribbing for Matt, and have a couple questions when you guys are done your interview.
Excellent. Now, I want to ask you real quick about the mood of the locker room. Let's get dramatic. Let's sense our moods here, Matthew. Defensive tackle Jordan Phillips. Obviously, they parted way with him after 4 seasons, and it was displayed on social media in a way that can only be described as ugly, with messages like "free at last" being shared. Obviously, Phillips was not happy with things in Miami. Is this indicative of a deeper issue or drama in the locker room? And how much could this impact the moral of this team as they struggle to get out of this rut?
Yeah, so that's an interesting point, because it seems like Adam Gase always ships out one or two players each season that he's been here. The first year he cut several offensive linemen after the embarrassing loss against the Bengals and the Titans. Second year he shipped out Jay Ajayi after an embarrassing loss, and this year shipped out Jordan Phillips after an embarrassing loss to the Patriots. And all these guys have publicly showed their disdain for Adam Gase and the Miami Dolphins after they have been shipped out. Remember Jarvis Landry traded in the offseason, who then took shots at the Dolphins, and even Mike Pouncey as well. So you start to think about that. You say, okay, what's going on here? Are these guys just a little salty? Are they just, you know, have a little hatred towards the Dolphins? They're just displaying it publicly? Or is this a deeper issue in a locker room? I was actually in the locker room against the Raiders after they completed their game, and the mood in that locker room, obviously after a huge win, was great. They were 3-0. They were on top of the world. They were joking around. They were having fun. The past 2 weeks, obviously it's getting a little downward spiral. However, Juwan James was interviewed on Monday, and he had a really interesting quote, because Adam Gase has been saying all along this offseason, this season, that he has his guys in the locker room, guys who are going to tackle adversity and face it head on. And Juwan James said point blank, listen, we don't have anyone pointing their fingers at each other. It's not offense versus defense. There's no whispering going on. There's no pointing fingers. We are sticking in this together, and we're all on the same page right now. And he said these guys are the right guys in here to tackle this adversity, and we're going to see just how well-built they are. I mean, you do have leaders on the team. You have Cameron Wake. You have Tannehill, who's been a more vocal leader, although his play has not shown it on the field. You have guys like Kenny Stills and Rashad Jones who are taking the lead, and even the younger guys leading by example like Minkah Fitzpatrick. So Juwan James saying this, you know, gives me hope that the locker room could still hang together. But I'll tell you, if they have a few more losses like they have the past 2 weeks, things might start getting a little ugly.
Absolutely. And I would be remiss if I didn't ask you before we let you go. We got to talk about Adam Gase and Patton Oswalt lookalike Dowell Loggins. Adam Gase followed John Fox to the Bears in 2015 as the offensive coordinator. In his only season with the team, they finished 18th in total offense. But then he left in 2016 to become the head coach of the Dolphins down there in Miami. And just a little earlier, his replacement on the Bears, Dowell Loggins, became the Dolphins offensive coordinator. And there was joy on both sides of the field, I assure you. So who has more to prove in this matchup? The Miami coaches, who still know a lot of the current Bears players, but whom there is no love loss, or the Chicago coaches, who are kind of the new guys in town to prove that they're better than the last regime?
Yeah, so I think Matt Nagy has nothing to lose in this game. You guys are 3-1 right now. You're first place in the NFC North. Your offense, major categories, trending towards the middle of the pack. Your defense, your major categories, towards the top. Vic Fangio, an amazing defensive coordinator. Listen, Adam Gase, while many have thought that he was pretty safe coming to the season, if things continue to go down south, he will be on the hot seat at the end of this year. Dowell Loggins, Adam Gase said today to the Chicago media during his conference call, he said, listen, when Dowell was released from his contract or fired, that he knew right away that he was going to pick up Dowell Loggins and bring him to Miami because they speak what he calls the same language. And they do seem to work well together. Now, us in Miami, us fans, us reporters, us to cover a team, would love to see Adam Gase give up the play-calling duties. And I know you guys might laugh at this, but to Loggins. And we just think that, you know, what's going on? I hear you guys laughing now.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
We just think Adam Gase is too involved in the play-calling right now and not paying enough attention to the game. I was at the Bengals game, like I mentioned, and the entire defensive drive towards the end of the game for the Bengals before the Dolphins ended up turning the ball over and losing it on downs and losing the game. Adam Gase was buried on the bench in the play sheets, just trying to figure out what he was going to do, paying no attention to the game. In my opinion, I think you need to be paying attention, having a say in what your defense is doing and trying to stop the bleeding. Now, you guys laugh because Dowell Loggins, obviously, when we read all about it, struggled to mix it up here and there in Chicago and really call a variety of plays. But we saw him call a game in preseason, obviously preseason, but we did like what we saw. So, you know, we hear what happened in Chicago. We saw what happened here for a little bit, and it probably the truth lies right in the middle. But back to your original point, listen, the Dolphins coaches have so much more to lose. If they lose this game in embarrassing fashion, even if they lose this game at all, I think at home, you know, you guys are coming in hot right now. You had the bye, maybe slow down your momentum a little bit, but I do think the Dolphins coaches need to win this game to get the season back on track.
I think I speak for Bears Nation when I say we would love nothing more than to have Dowell Loggins calling the plays for Miami on Sunday.
So
you can put 9 in the box the first 2 downs and then just watch out for that dink pass on 3rd down. But Bears go before.
It's either that or bubble screens from Adam Gase all game.
Oh, I'm having nightmares. I'm having nightmares of years past.
Oh,
but Bears girl, before we get Matthew out of here, what do we got from the chat room?
Well, I can tell you that everyone in the chat room would be happy with no gains coming from the Miami Dolphins. So please, and make that happen. Ryan in our chat room wants to know, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being scared, how scared should Tannehill be?
Of Khalil Mack and the Bears defense, he should be like a 20. Because this offensive line, I don't think is going to slow Khalil Mack down at all. The Dolphins are very worried about Khalil Mack. They have said plenty of times that you can't slow him down. So we will see.
And good. Rightfully so.
20. A 20. I like that answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will tell you, that Matt is getting rave reviews in our chat room from our listeners saying that he is the most real guest we've had previewing in terms of being honest about how the Bears are going to demolish that team. So yeah. Thanks for that honesty, Matt. We have Shane Marsaw, who is one of the barroom personalities in the chat room, and he wants to know if you expect Miami to make any players available before the trade deadline.
Yeah, so I think Devontae Parker is a prime candidate. He has been oft injured the past several years, has only played in one game this season. And, you know, the rumblings have gone around. Michael Lombardi reported the other day that they are shopping him around. The Dolphins came out through a league source, quote-unquote league source, and they denied that through their local reporters that way. I had heard during the draft they were trying to shop him, but right now his market is so bad that they really can't get anything for him. So if anything, I think it's Devontae Parker, unless Adam Gase and company have a few surprises up their sleeve. But I would say Devontae's the prime candidate there.
Yeah, he's a guy coming out with tons of talent coming out of college and just hasn't seemed to be able to put it together.
Yeah.
Last question for you, Matt, is a topic that is popping in the chat room as well, the weather. What do we have in store for the Bears that are coming from Chicago?
You know, I haven't looked at the weather. Do we have a weather forecast for Sunday? I can look it up right now, actually.
I'm guessing it's hotter than Chicago.
Yeah, so what's your weather like in Chicago right now? Let's start there.
Tell us how it is. No, we're not in Chicago.
It is 50 degrees
check
and rain.
Check the chat. I appreciate all the people in the chat room as well. Okay, let's look at Sunday. So isolated thunderstorm on Sunday. We have a high of 85 degrees. But listen, when you go to Miami, you walk outside and you just start sweating right away. The humidity is absolutely insane. The Dolphins will be likely wearing their white jerseys, which means the Bears will be in their color jerseys. It is a different kind of hot down there. We've all experienced hot. We've all experienced, you know, temperatures of the upper 90s, of the hundreds. But when I say when you get to South Florida, you go outside and you start sweating, and it's harder to breathe. And the way the Dolphins designed their stadium, they purposely designed it so with the new roof canopy up there, it does not provide any shade at all to the visiting sideline. And during the game, that sun just continues to beam down on the visiting sideline. So while the Dolphins will be in the shade the entire game, the visiting sideline will be in the sun the entire game. And if you saw John Gruden just drenched with sweat when he was in Miami, and he admitted that it impacted him and his ability to call plays and think straight, and it impacted the ability of his team. So coming from Chicago, you know, the Bears players will definitely struggle for a bit throughout the game. But again, if the Bears get out to a fast start, that weather's not going to matter in the fourth quarter.
Absolutely. And Matthew, before we get you out of here, I'm going to ask you, first and foremost, I want you to tell people how they can read your stuff and listen to your stuff. And after that, I want to hear a prediction. Now, before you do that, you know, every person we've talked to who's been representing their respective teams have always picked their team to beat the Bears. And we're waiting for our first guest to pick the Bears in a game. I'm not putting any pressure on you. I want you to be honest. Yeah. But go ahead. First of all, tell people how they can read your stuff and then go on with your prediction.
You could read me on thefinsider.com. That's P-H-I-N-S-I-D-E-R, thefinsider.com. You can find me on Twitter at CannataNFL, C-A-N-N-A-T-A-N-F-L. You can find me on there and give me a follow. I'll follow you back. And, so going to the prediction, you're going to get your first one tonight
with
picking the Bears because, listen, I have no confidence right now in the Miami Dolphins. You look at Ryan Tannehill's stats and towards the bottom of the league and everything. Actually, Blake Bortles is playing much better football than him right now, and everyone gives Blake Bortles a ton of crap. I have no confidence in the Dolphins, and they're going to need to win a game or two to prove me wrong. So I'm going to pick the Bears. I don't think the Dolphins' offense will have any answers for this Bears defense. Obviously, you play the game any given Sunday, but I'm going to say Bears 27, Dolphins 14.
All right, you just made a bunch of friends in the bar room. So, Matthew,
yes.
Thank you so much for being on with us tonight. I'm sure we'll talk to you again down the road, but we really appreciate our time here. Have a good night, my man.
All right, thanks, guys. Matt. Have a blast. Take care.
Bye.
All right, Bears girl. It is halftime. You know what that means. It's time to go into the fast-paced second half. Close out this show. Tell the people how it works.
All right, let's remind our listeners how this part of the show works. I'm going to ask you 5 Chicago Bears-related questions, and you're going to have all but 55 seconds to respond. Why 55? Because that's the number your Uncle Doug Buffone wore during his 15 seasons with those Chicago Bears. At the end of that 55 seconds, you're going to hear this sound.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to have a whistle.
Someone fell asleep at the board after their second dirty martini.
We're going to have a whistle, and you can then start to wind up your response. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do this.
All right. Question number one. You know the biggest story of this season so far is the acquisition of Khalil Mack and his stellar play through those first four games. We all know the stats by heart. 5 sacks, 4 forced fumbles, 1 fumble recovery, and 1 interception returned for a touchdown. Truly extraordinary for a guy who's only been here 6 weeks. But tell us, what has Mack done for the other players in this defense? What has his presence done for whom and how? You've got 55 seconds and go.
Honestly, I think the biggest thing that has given the Bears is a centerpiece of the defense. They had a great defense last year, but who was the standout player? Was it Akeem Hicks on the defensive line? Was it Danny Trevathan calling the plays? Was it Kyle Fuller who had a breakout season? This finally gives them the oh, captain, my captain guy. He takes pressure off of so many guys. You notice that we're not talking about Leonard Floyd much. 0 sacks, 8 total tackles. If Khalil Mack wasn't here, we wouldn't be talking about what the hell is wrong with Leonard Floyd. We need him to be the guy and the defense is suffering, yada, yada. Yada, yada. Well, while Floyd is figuring out how to rush the quarterback from the other side of the ball and how to play with a club on his hand, Khalil Mack can carry the load just fine. Not to mention, having the pressure makes everyone better. The D-line won't see double teams. The linebackers will rarely see blockers on the second level. And the secondary can press a little more, knowing the opposing quarterback only has about 3 seconds to throw the ball. So, his presence alone has helped solidify a defense looking for a superstar captain. And then, obviously, his play on the field speaks for itself. You're not going to hear too many people complaining about those 2 draft picks they lost because this guy has put a centerpiece on the defense.
And there was that whistle. We finally found it. John, I got to ask you, because I'm pretty convinced that Mack is special. There hasn't been an most valuable player from the defensive side on the ball since Lawrence Taylor of the New York Giants in 1986. If Mack continues this phenomenal pace, do you think he has a serious shot? Or is this the quarterback, whoever he is, a lock to win because the NFL is a quarterback league?
I think there's some things would have to fall in place. Like last year, we saw a couple quarterbacks go down. We saw Rodgers go down. We saw Wentz, who was probably going to win the MVP, go down. And then it was almost like, you know, the de facto MVP was maybe going to Tom Brady. So I think some things would have to fall into place there. But if the Bears actually finish with a very good record and they're a high seed in the playoffs and that defense is number one, and obviously Khalil Mack's stats stay on track, there is a chance that he could potentially be an MVP candidate. Now, like I said, some things would have to fall into place and the Bears would have to really perform well because they're not going to give it to an MVP on a 9-7 team with a really good defense. But I think there's a chance.
And some of the chat room are agreeing and some are not. Some are saying not going to happen. It's probably Mahomes and Mack maybe isn't in his top game shape yet. Question number two. Big storyline this week is the reported frustration Jordan Howard is having with the Bears' new offense. More precisely, he was allegedly unhappy about the amount of touches he got in that huge win against Tampa. He only touched the ball 11 times, and Tariq Cohen almost doubled that amount. What's your take on the issue? Is it a big to-do about nothing, or is it a sign that he is no longer the featured back for the Bears and not happy about it? And I've also checked his Instagram account. It's still there, and there's tons of Bears photos, so that's not an issue. You're now on the clock.
I think there's a lot of nonsense circulating, and it comes from people that want to be hot takey and pretend like they're smarter than everyone else. And is Jordan Howard going to get traded? I doubt it. Is he going to be a Bear in 2 years? I don't know. But why are people so up in arms about this? You know what good offensive coaches do? They don't limit their game plan when looking at an opponent. Nagy saw a weakness in Tampa, and guess what? They blew the freaking doors off of them. I don't know if anyone has ever watched the New England Patriots, but they kind of have a knack for having different backs blow up on different weeks. Remember? This year, they have a bruiser in Sony Michel, and in years past it was LeGarrette Blount. Then James White will catch 10 balls out of the backfield, and if you watch the NFL long enough, they were doing that with Kevin Falk way back in 2001 through whenever. So you wanted innovation with this offense. You wanted something different than run pass with Dowell Loggins. Well, guess what's going to happen when you do that? Jordan Howard isn't going to get 25 touches a game and 400 touches a year. And furthermore, don't you want your guys to have fresher legs if possible if you're going to make a playoff run? He had 11 touches against Tampa, 24 against Arizona. Different games are going to call for different players to be featured. If you're a real team player, you understand that. I'm not saying that Jordan Howard is upset, but I think people should stop talking on his behalf.
So I'm going to admit that I try really hard not to watch any Patriots games because they give me heartburn and indigestion. But I'm going to give you a hypothetical now, John.
Okay.
And it's coming up across social media quite a bit. The Bears are without a first or second round draft pick in the 2019 draft, which, believe it or not, is only 6 months away. If a team offered those Bears, our Bears, a second rounder for Howard, would you deal and bring up Ryan Null?
No, I don't. Because what are you trying to do? You're trying to build through a draft so you have a good team. You have a good team. You have a good running back. What are you hoping to get in the second round? A good running back. That's what you got. I mean, I don't see if at this point, if you like this team and you like your running backs, no. What are you going to get out of it? A guy that you're going to roll the dice on. The same thing they did with Khalil Mack. Those two draft picks are unknowns. We got a proven. We have a proven. Don't give it up for an unknown. You keep Jordan Howard.
And the chat room agrees with you. Let's move on to question number three. Speaking of being unhappy, maybe Adrian Amos is also not happy. On Twitter on Tuesday, he wrote, and I quote, "Sometimes you give your all and it's still not good enough. You can adapt, move on, or keep working at it the same way. Some will appreciate what others don't, but no point in feeling sorry for yourself because that won't change a thing. We know his contract is up at the end of this season. There's no word on whether the two sides are even talking. Amos has uncharacteristically missed 2 or 3 sure tackles this season. What value do you place on Amos? Do you think the Bears should be working diligently to re-sign him? Or is he a player that could be replaced? And is the urgency to sign him not as high as it perhaps was with Eddie Goldman? Your 55 seconds starts now."
Look, I like Adrian Amos. Awesome reclamation player, came in with a lot of promise, looked to fall out of favor at one point, and then storms back. An extremely hard hitter, something I definitely appreciate. Only 25 years old. Would I like to see him back? Absolutely. Are they super stacked at safety? Not really. Do you really want DeAndre Houston, Carter, or Deion Bush starting consistently? I don't at this point. So that means you're either going to draft one and put a rookie back there. By the way, you're going to have to wait a while since you gave out those draft picks for Mac. Or the other option is free agency. And what safety are you going to get on the market that is as good for less than Adrian Amos? It's not going to happen. So I think the Bears will try to re-sign him. I think Ryan Pace has a plan, and part of that plan was getting Eddie Goldman done before the end of the season, and I'm sure Amos has a window of his own coming up. We just don't want to see him get, you know, disenchanted or fed up with the organization, but we see this stuff all the time. How many times do we see players demand trades? How many times we hear them complain about a contract, put their houses up for sale, delete Instagram pics? We live in a social media world. This stuff is not uncommon.
All right, let's move on to question number four. The Bears are 1-1 this season on the road. They self-destructed in that season opener against the Packers at Lambeau that I would want to forget. And they had a lackluster win against the lowly Cardinals in Arizona. Are you concerned that the Bears, with their youth, could continue to have serious troubles on the road this season? Tell us what you got in 55 seconds.
I'm not, and I'll tell you why. The Bears' toughest games this year, they're going to be at home. New England, LA, the next game against Green Bay, that's at home. On the road, outside of division games, now I'm talking outside of division games, are as followed. At Miami, I think their record's fake. I'm not impressed with anything they do, and they got exposed by New England 2 weeks ago, and they got handled by the Bengals. I'm not afraid of that team. Then they're at Buffalo. I know the Bills are an enigma, but do they scare me? Absolutely not. The Bears' defense versus that offense that might not even have LeSean McCoy, yeah, I'll be just fine with that. Next, remember, I'm talking about road games outside of the division. They go to the Giants. Now, the Giants might have a good offense, but they give up a lot of points, and I think the Bears can tee off on Eli Manning, which is the equivalent of a garden gnome standing back there at this point. And then finally, they go on the road to San Francisco. Is anybody fearing that team without their starting quarterback and then without their starting running back and then without their backup running back and their best running back is their fullback? I think the Bears are going to keep getting better and the young players are going to be just fine. But these road games against these teams, that certainly doesn't hurt either.
All right, John, here's some fun facts for what it's worth. Trubisky lost only one regular season road game as a starter in college, but was 2-4 in his rookie season with the Bears. And I got to let you know that one of those losses was in New Orleans, where the officials robbed Zach Miller of his touchdown. And we all know that was a catch.
So you're saying he's a road warrior?
I'm saying he is.
All right.
Question number five. You ready to wrap this up?
Let's do it.
All right, it's time for your incredible coach's speech, John. But let's do it a little differently this week. You're addressing the team prior to their final practice of the week. What do you want them to know? What do you need them? What do you need out of them? And how urgent is your message? You got 55 seconds, so go.
All right, fellas, huddle up. Listen, y'all know we have a dominant defense. Y'all know we have a quarterback that just threw 6 touchdown passes in his last game. And I'm sure you've seen us moving up on the power rankings according to these, quote, football experts. Now, I love the confidence you guys are playing with, but don't let that confidence turn into complacency. This is the National Football League. If you go on the road and you expect a team to roll out the red carpet for you, you are coming home black and blue and with an L on your record. Do not let this limited success go to your head. Dominance means being superior from start to finish. Now, that means during a play, throughout the game, throughout a season. You want to keep this momentum going, right? Then you got to put in the work. Y'all are having fun now, aren't you? You know why? Because on Sundays, you come out with a win. Throughout the week is not supposed to be fun. That's why it's called work. Fun day is Sunday. So stay focused. Stay hungry. We haven't won a damn thing yet. This team we're playing has 2 coaches that used to be here. Let's remind them why they aren't here anymore and make them wish they were here. We're not flying back here without a win, gentlemen. Let's get to work.
Wow, okay, under the whistle, and we are packaging that speech with the one you gave last week during the bye week, and we are going to send that to the team, the coaches, and we're just going to put that everywhere we possibly can, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
That sounds lovely.
Anywhere else you want it?
My MySpace, probably. yeah, I'll put it on my MySpace. That's still cool, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Someone is suggesting some really inappropriate places in the chat room, so I'm not going to bring those up.
Go figure. True to Barfly fashion, though. I wouldn't expect anything less.
Yeah.
I suppose I should give my prediction on this game now, huh?
Yeah, so before we wrap this up, we heard Matt tell us that he predicts the Bears are going to win, even though he covers the Finns. What do you got for us, John?
Short and simple. I think the Bears are going to party in the city where the heat is on. I mean, they pull away from Miami in the second half. I think they put up a good amount of offense in this one. They win 27-19. I'm saying the Bears win this one by 8. They kind of pull away late in the second half. Now, reminder, this episode of Buffon 55 will be on your podcast stream first thing Thursday morning. Make sure you share it with your friends and give us a review on any delivery service that you get your podcast from. We're on all of them: iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, the aforementioned MySpace. Just kidding. You name it. All you have to do is search for Bears Barroom Radio Network, and we will pop up. Bears girl, go ahead and plug that swag shop and some upcoming shows before we get out of here.
Plenty of stuff for you to purchase in the swag shop, including those really nice Barfly limited edition orange t-shirts that are probably going to go away very, very soon. So make sure you grab one of those. And of course, a Buffon 55 hoodie. I'm surprised we haven't sold out of those yet.
Yeah, I'm telling you, get those Buffon 55 hoodies, put them online. I will retweet the hell out of those things.
And make sure you go visit betchicago.com, where you'll have a chance to win up to $10,000, I believe. I can't play because I'm Canadian, but all you American listeners, head over to betchicago.com and join that.
Aw, that's sad that you can't play.
I know.
Oh, well.
Okay. Well, it only end up being a couple, you know, $5,000 in Canadian money by the time I was done anyway. So it's
very true. Good point. Now, be sure to join us back here on MixLR on Friday. The Mike North Advantage begins at 9 a.m. Central Time. Can't make it. Catch the podcast version. Bears girl, we did it. We made it through another episode. You holding up all right?
I am, and I hear that you're holding up all right, too.
Oh, we play hurt every week. That's the Buffon way. So hopefully next week we're going to have the Bears coming out off of another victory to get pumped up. Thank you for tuning in. This has been Buffon 55 on the Bears Barroom Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Bear down.